Good morning and welcome to week three of Daring Faith campaign series. Could you believe we're already at week three? I trust that you've been enjoying this study and that you've been having an opportunity to dig deeper. I trust that you've gotten into one of our small groups and where you could dig deeper on this, the Sunday teaching. I hope that you are also doing your daily devotionals that are in the study guide. And so today we are on day 15. So this is day 15 of everything. And again, we want to thank Pastor Rick Warren, who wrote the study guide and has given us the material so that we could teach this material and stay in tune with the study guide. So we thank him for some of the material that he's provided for us as well. Well, I want to ask you if you remember last week's memory verse. Do you remember it? Go ahead, tell it to me. Go ahead. I hope you got it right. I can't tell, but Romans 8:28 was last week's verse. It says, "And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who've been called according to his purpose." So that brings me to tell you what this week's memory verse is, and it's found on page 55 in your study guide, and it's 1 Corinthians 2:9. It says this, "No eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him." So those are that's our memory verse for this week. If you would take some time through the week and work your way through it, and it helps to lock it in the vault of your heart, like we said last week. Excuse me. Today I want to talk about Joshua. We're going to look into Joshua chapter 1 a little bit later, but that'll be part of our main text, Joshua 1. But I want to talk about who Joshua is and why looking at him is important when we talk about daring faith. So to go back in history, Israel had been in slavery in Egypt for about 430 years, where God raised up Moses, and Moses led the Israelites out of slavery in Egypt through the 10 plagues and into the wandering of the desert as they began to make their way to the promised land. And what happens is they get to a place under Moses' leadership, a few weeks out of leaving slavery and Egypt behind, and they come to the area where they're about to cross over into the promised land, across the Jordan River. And God tells Moses to pick 12 people, a leader from each of the tribes of Israel, and they're to go and they're to scout the land and to go and check it out. And Moses gave them a whole list of what they had to check. You know, things like what's the place like? What are the people like? What are the cities like? What is the land like? So they go and they were to go and spy out the land, if you would, and bring back a report. And so these 12 spies go out from the camp of Israel into the promised land to check it out, and they actually spent 40 days. They probably traveled what is estimated to be about 500 miles from one end to the other of the promised land and back again, and bring a report back to Moses. And this is, in essence, the report that these 12 spies brought. They said, "The land does flow with milk and honey." And of course, that's not literal. It means that the land is fertile. It's great for crops. It's great for cattle. It's a land flowing with milk and honey. And they even brought a sample of fruit. Moses said, "Bring us a sample of fruit if you can." And so they did that. Remember, they'd been wandering in the desert for 40 years. They hadn't seen a whole lot of fruit. So they brought fruit, and they said, but the people are strong and powerful, and the cities are large and fortified. We think of Jericho with the walls, fortified. And the spies said, "We cannot attack these people. They are too much for us. They are too strong for us." And they began to spread a bad report amongst the people of Israel. The Bible says, then Caleb silenced everyone and everything. And he said, wait, you know. It's also assumed that he spoke for Joshua. So Caleb speaks and he says to the people, he says, with God, we can go in and possess the land. With God, God's promised to us. And Caleb was taking a stand of daring faith that they could do this. See, Joshua and Caleb dared to believe God and dared to step out in faith. They had seen with their own eyes. They were two of the 12 spies, and they saw what it was like, and they said, we could do this. But the people of Israel chose to believe the negative report of the 10 spies. Long-term result is they would wander in the desert for another 40 years till that generation that did not believe God, that generation that did not have daring faith, would pass away in the desert. Then God would take the new generation into the promised land. And that's kind of where we find ourselves when we come to Joshua chapter 1. That Joshua had spent all these years as Moses' aide. He was being trained to be the next leader of Israel. And Joshua chapter 1 verse 2 gives us this part of the story. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I am about to give them to the Israelites. So Joshua here is being spoken to by God, and God is saying, Moses is dead. You are now the leader. And you're going to bring the people into the promised land, you see. But Joshua is going to need to learn how to step out in faith. Joshua is going to have his faith stretched, his imagination stretched, if you would, to see what it is possible that God could accomplish through the people of Israel under the leadership of Joshua. So there are four secrets that Joshua teaches us to being able to be stretched in faith to follow God. This is page 56 in your study guide, if you want to fill in the blanks, and we'll start with the first one. And the first thing that we learn is this: you must let go of doubt. You must let go of doubt. You see, doubt limits your potential. James chapter 1, 6 and 7 reminds us, it says, anyone who doubts is like a wave in the sea, blown up and down by the wind. They should not think they will receive anything from the Lord. See, Joshua knows that if they're going to inhabit the promised land, it's going to be difficult because there are seven nations, and the Bible lists the seven nations that are already in the land that they would have to move out of the way so they can go and possess the promised land that was given them. Joshua 1:9 says this, yes, be bold and strong, banish fear and doubt, for remember the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Notice the word banish. You have to banish fear and doubt. You have to make a choice. You have to choose if you are going to live in a place of doubt, or you have to choose if you're going to live in the place of faith. That's why the Bible says, banish fear and doubt. And I say to you, it's time that we learn that we could choose faith. Now, there are two things that cause doubt in our lives. The first is comparing your abilities. See, sometimes instead of looking at God, we look at the others around us. Instead of looking at God, we look at what other people near us are doing. Sometimes we fall in the trap where we compare ourselves to somebody else. Oh, if only I could be like him, or if only I could be like her. But we are told that by comparing ourselves to somebody else, we cause doubt to come into our lives. 2 Corinthians 10:12 says this, when they measure themselves by themselves and compare themselves to themselves, they show how foolish they are. So we don't want to do that. The second area that can cause doubt in our lives is remembering your failures. See, we've all had failures, but we can't focus on the past. Focusing on the past stops you from taking hold of your future. Philippians 3, 13 and 14 says it this way, no, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing. forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. See, you and I, we all have past. Everybody has a past. There are great people of the Bible who have past. For instance, there's Jacob. Jacob was a man who stole his family inheritance before he became the father of a great nation. Moses was a murderer before God raised him up to take Israel out of slavery. David was an adulterer, and he conspired to commit murder. Yet, God worked in his heart that God describes David as a man after God's own heart. Peter was a hard-nosed fisherman who was kind of brash and right in there, but Jesus and God worked in his life and changed him to one of the great leaders of the early church. Paul, we know him as the Apostle Paul, but before that, he was Saul, the religious terrorist. But God changed his heart and changed his life, so he became one of the greatest apostles of all time. See, everyone, including you, has a past. Everyone has a past. And God uses people with a past. Because Jesus has forgiven your past and promises you a new future. See, God doesn't really care about your past. He doesn't care where you've been. God is really concerned about your future. He's concerned about where you are going and where you are heading. God is concerned about your character today, not what your character was in the past. Don't let your past failure stop you from taking hold of the things that God has desired for you in your life today. So you must let go of doubt. And the second thing we learned from Joshua's life is to look for a promise. God gave Joshua all kinds of promises, and one of them is found in verse 3. It says, In Joshua 1:3 it says, I promised Moses I would give you this land, so I will give you every place you go in the land. Now you have to understand where Joshua is here. He is standing, I'm imagining, that they are standing just on the one side of the Jordan, and maybe they could look over and he can see the promised land. And he sees it from the distance. And God says to him, what I promised Moses, I'm going to give to you. So as he stands there at the beginning of his leadership, he's just literally hours or days into it. And he says, there's the promised land. And God says to Joshua, I'm going to give you what I promised Moses. He's looking for that promise. And then at the end of Joshua's life, the book of Joshua 23:14 says this, now my time has come to die. Every one of you who knows in his heart and soul that the Lord your God has given you all the good things that he promised. Every promise he made has been kept. Not one has failed. So now Joshua is addressing the nation towards the end of his life. He says, now my time has come. And so these two verses are the bookend of Joshua's leadership. And he says, remember everything that God has done. Remember that God has kept every promise that he stated. You can trust God. You can look for his promises and put your trust in him. So, three things God promises if you will live your life in faith for him. The first is God promises strength. Joshua 1:5 says, no one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Isn't that amazing? God promises that he will be your strength because he will never leave you or forsake you. Second thing is God promises success. In Joshua 1, 6, and 7, we read, "Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go." See, if you follow God, if you obey God, you will fall into God's purposes for your life. And God says, if you follow His plan, you will be successful at whatever you do. Now, we have to be careful here. God doesn't say you're going to be successful by the world standards. You're not going to be successful by the amount of dollars in your bank account or your RRSP. You're not going to be successful by the square foot as measured by the square footage of your house. You're not going to be successful as described by the type of vehicle you might own or how many you might have. Those aren't the measures of success for God. Those are the measures of success in our world system. But God promises you success that if you follow God, if you stay according to His purposes for your life, He will make you successful in His ecosystem. Now, by the way, it doesn't always mean success is easy. God doesn't say, if you follow me, your life will be easy. If you follow me, you will be successful. God promises you success. He doesn't promise you easy. And the third thing we see is God promises support. In verse 9 we read, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." God says, "I will be with you wherever you go." Rick Warren likes to remind us that all of these promises have a premise. That every time God says He will do something, He says He'll do something if we will do something. And so we look at Joshua 1:8. It says, "Always remember what is written in the book of teachings. Study it day and night to be sure to obey everything that is written there. If you do this, you will be wise and successful in everything." Notice those words that are highlighted there. God's promises are based on your commitment to His word. So God's promises to you are based on your commitment to God's word, to what God says to you, and what God has laid out for us. So let me review for you. The first couple of things we've learned is you must let go of doubt, and you have to look for a promise and take hold and live for it. And the third thing is we need to lean on the Lord. You need to lean on God. What does it mean to lean? Well, it means to fully depend on God. Fully trusting on Him to hold you up. Think of yourself as leaning against a wall. You're leaning against the wall. It's got all of your weight. You're leaning on it. You're trusting it to hold you up. It's the same thing. You are going to lean on God, and He is going to hold you up. See, Joshua was being asked to do something he had never done before. In fact, something his whole nation has never done before. But that's the first thing. He's called to lead a nation. Joshua has never led a nation. Moses has been the leader of this nation. And then Joshua is told to bring Israel into the promised land. Israel doesn't know what it is to possess a land. They've been nomads in the desert for 40 years. Before that, they were slaves in Egypt for about 430 years. This people doesn't know what it is to possess a land, and they're to conquer nations, right? There's seven nations that are living in the promised land that have to be displaced and removed, and they have to go and conquer the nations. But they have been living on their own as nomads in the desert. They've not had to fight anybody. The only people Israel's fought with is Moses and God. But now they've got to go and subdue the other nations. So in Joshua 1:5, we read these words. "No one will be able to defeat you all your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forget you." What a comfort these words must have been to Joshua. when Joshua hears God say, as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. All Joshua needs to remember is that he needs to lean on God. If he leans on God, God will take care of everything. See, God promises you his presence. God will not leave you. God will not forget you. You can count on God. Follow him and trust him. Who are you leaning on for strength? What are you leaning on for strength? Are you leaning on other people? Are you leaning on the approval of other people? Are you leaning on yourself, like, I don't need anybody, I'm self-sufficient? All the other people will let you down. You will let yourself down. That's probably why Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 tells us, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him and he will make your path straight. You need to lean on God. You need to lean on God. You need to trust him. See, everyone else at some point or another will let you down and disappoint you in life. But God is not able to do that. You need to learn to lean on the Lord, lean on God. The fourth lesson we learned from Joshua's life is this, is launch out in faith. Put your faith into practice and take God at his word. Step out in faith. Step out in daring faith and believe God. See, this is where the rubber meets the road. Joshua 1, 10 and 11 reminds us, then Joshua issued instructions to the leaders of Israel to tell the people to get ready to cross the Jordan River. In 3 days, we will go across and conquer and live in the land which God has given us, he told them. See, this is the moment of truth. This is the place of no return for Israel. They're about to take a plunge. They're about to leave the desert wanderings behind and go into the promised land, the land that was promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. See, once they cross over the Jordan River and go into the promised land, there's no going back. They can't go back to the desert wanderers. They can't go back to being nomads without a land. They're going to go and possess the promised land that God had given them. They're launching out in faith. Maybe you need to launch out in faith today. Maybe you've been walking on the fence of indecision. Maybe you haven't been sure if you could trust God fully. Maybe you're afraid to trust God and trust God's word. Whatever the case, you need to take the plunge. You need to launch out in faith. You need to trust God. There is no room for going back. Now, this is what you need to know about the story of Joshua and Israel as they cross from the desert to the promised land. That they're about to cross the Jordan River, but the Bible tells us that the river was at a flood stage at this time. And it's different this time. See, Joshua, Caleb, they could remember leaving slavery and going across the Red Sea. And many of you know the story, the great story where they crossed the Red Sea and then the Egyptian army drowned as the sea closed in on them. And that's way back in Exodus. And at that time, God told Moses, if you take your staff and hold it up over the water, I will part the Red Sea. And so the Bible says all night the winds blew and the waters were held back so that Israel could cross on dry ground. That was then. But here we are some 40 years later. And it's different. They have to cross the Jordan at flood stage. And God isn't going to do it before them. He is going to do it with them. What do I mean by that? Well, God told Joshua, tell the priest to take the Ark of the Covenant. The Ark of the Covenant in the Old Testament is the place of God's presence. So take the Ark of the Covenant, tell the priest to carry it, and they had a proper way to carry it. They couldn't just carry it any old way. And tell the priest to go and stand in the river. In other words, go stand in the water. And when the priest will stand in the water, then God would move. So what happens is the priests carry the ark. They go into the river and they stand there. And as their feet touch the water, when all the priests have put their feet in the water, then God begins to part the waters. And the priest had to stand there and wait while everybody crossed over. Isn't that amazing? You see what God is doing? God is saying, I need you to take the step of obedience so that I can then do the promises that I've promised. So God is looking at times for us to take the first step. Israel literally had to take the first step in obedience. See, God often tests our faith by asking us to step out in faith, to step out in obedience to what he says. What is your Jordan River? What is the barrier or obstacle in your life that you don't think at this point you have the ability to trust for, to believe for, to have faith for? What is your Jordan River today that maybe God is just waiting for you to take the first steps, to put your feet in the water and trust God for the rest? What is stopping you from stepping out in obedience to God's word? You see, the first step is always the hardest. That moment where you say, I'm going to leave everything I trust behind me and trust God. Step into the river and trust God to do what he said he would do. What do you do when you know something is God's will and you're afraid to do it? I'm going to tell you what you do. You do it anyways. You move against your fear. You need to learn to ignore your feelings and do what you know is right anyways. See, here's a little trick. Your feelings will often lead you in the wrong way. Feelings are not your best decision makers. They're probably not ones you could always trust on. No, what you need to do is trust in God's word and then step out in obedience to what God says. That is daring faith. Courage isn't the absence of fear. Courage is moving forward despite your fear. Courageous people aren't people who have no fear. Courageous people are people who say, I'm going to step forward and do what's right, even though there may be fear. Courageous people don't let fear stop them. Don't let fear stop you. Be a courageous person of faith. Be a courageous person who can step out in daring faith. You're never too old to step out of faith. It's never too late to start stepping out in faith. I mean, Joshua is probably 80 years old when he assumes the leadership of Israel. What are you waiting for? Don't wait till you're 80. Go ahead, do it now. Make the rest of your life the best of your life. See, you have to understand the miracles of your life don't happen when you stand on the banks of the Jordan just looking at the promised land. The miracles happen when you step out in faith and sometimes fear and step into the waters to allow God to complete the work that he's beginning in you. Daring faith happens when you step out and trust God. Would you step out and trust God today? Maybe you're watching and you're saying, Pastor, I've never trusted God. I've never stepped out of faith. I've never accepted God for who he is. I want you to know you could do that today. And we want to make it so simple for you. If you would just take a moment and pick up your phone and text us the word love to 416-267-1189, then follow the prompts that are there. We want to help you in a relationship with Jesus as you follow God. We want to help you to be able to step out in daring faith. Let's pray together. Father, thank you today for the story of Joshua, for the reminder we have that we can be people of faith, that we could step out in daring faith. Help us to do this. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Thank you for joining us today at Highway Online, and I trust that you have been encouraged by the story of Joshua, and you can be encouraged this week to step out in faith. I want to remind you that we also meet weekly on Sunday morning in the Highway location, the Highway building on Midland and Scarborough. And we invite you, if you live locally, to feel free to come and join us in person. Come worship with us. Come be part of our teaching. We'd love to have you with us. Just go to our website, reserve your seat due to the pandemic safety protocols that are still in place at this time. But we would love to have you join us. In the meantime, have a great week. Remember to do your daily devotionals and the study guide this week, and we will see you again soon. God bless you.